please turn your faces away. So Tuesday night is now traditionally our key group night. And we had a little discussion this morning that brought the HOW workbook into our thinking. So we thought it might be fun just to do something a little bit different tonight. So I have the HOW workbook. And what I'm going to do first is read the introduction. It's so neat. I just was reminded that this is dedicated to Tuffy. And with a beautiful little sketch, of course, little Tuffy. So it is not possible to do this workbook wrong. This book is simply an opportunity for you to see a little more clearly how you are as a person, how you approach life, how you choose your values and beliefs. And this is not a realm in which right and wrong apply. This workbook focuses on the process of you, not the particulars, the content of your life. What you do or believe or feel will not be the point. How you do it will be the point. If you observed how you do this workbook, you would probably learn more about who and how you are than you could learn from the content of the exercises. How you do anything is how you do everything. For example, you might hold the belief that life is sacred. A simple statement. This book will encourage you to explore how you know that. Who taught you to believe that? How does believing that affect your life? Does it help you in not suffering? Or does it cause you to suffer? What happens if someone challenges that belief? Why do we have beliefs? What if it's not true? And so on. Not to encourage you to do or not to do anything about your beliefs, but to encourage you to explore the whole process of believing and how believing affects you. Life involves suffering. Here we define as suffering everything from displeasure or dissatisfaction to tragic loss or utter failure. The four causes of suffering: not getting what you want, getting what you want and not being satisfied with it, having to endure the absence of those or that which you love, having to endure the presence of those or that which you do not love. How we are and how we conduct our lives leads either toward suffering or away from suffering. Throughout this book, you will be encouraged to see how you do what you do and asked to question whether your process causes you suffering or leads you away from it. This is the purpose of this workbook. We are not suggesting that you make any decisions. Just become aware. Notice everything. See if you can allow yourself to be exactly as you are, with as few judgments as possible, for the duration of this project. Of course, you will judge. See if you can become more interested in the process of judging than in what you are judging. This book is for you. Your answers aren't going to be graded. You are you. Comparing yourself to anyone else is like comparing apples and oranges. No comparison is possible. And of course, you will compare. Just see if you can become more interested in the process of comparing than in what is being compared. Knowing how you are is the beginning of freedom. And it is true that looking inward, seeing ourselves, can be scary. If the opportunity arises, see if you can give yourself permission to be scared, resistant, angry, upset, frustrated, sad, and depressed, as well as happy, excited, eager, open, and willing. And please, if you decide to approach this workbook, do so with all the compassion for yourself that you can find. You are probably not a great artist, or writer, or psychologist, or spiritual adept. So don't expect to draw like Leonardo da Vinci, write like Jane Austen, analyze like Carl Jung, or have insights like the Buddha. Just be you. In this workbook, there are references to the key, and the name of the key is willingness. A book we wrote, hoping perhaps to assist others in their spiritual practice. It is available through your local bookstore and on your Tuesday evening groups. So, from there, folks brought their journals, and we have some paper somewhere. So some questions, and the title of this page is Looking at Yourself. And the illustration is a microscope. So what I've been told about me, just go ahead and respond to that. What I've been told about me.
Thank you.
So, second question. What I tell myself about me. Next question, what I really know about me.
Would you say that again?
What I really know about me. Okay, looks just about there. So, for those of you who just came in from outside, we are actually in the, not quite the middle, the beginning, middle of a facilitation retreat. And so what we're going to do next is create facilitation opportunity. We're going to divide into, I think it's going to be four groups. And the way it'll work is somebody will volunteer to be the facilitator, and somebody will volunteer, and this is in each of the small groups, will volunteer to be the facilitatee. And you'll begin facilitating and having an issue that you talk about. And after 5 minutes, I'll ring a bell, and the next volunteer facilitator will step in and continue facilitating that person, or if that, when that person finishes, another person will volunteer to be facilitated till the bell rings, then switch, then okay, Anne.
For the facilitatee, can they be done before the 5 minutes is up? Is the timer for
yes.
the facilitator?
Yes, and then you could just switch. Another person would volunteer to talk about what it was like doing this exercise. Would be a good topic.
So, okay, so the facilitatee just takes whatever time they need, not go with the bell.
Yes. Any other questions?
I just didn't follow that whole part of it. So there's going to be bells, but that doesn't mean that we're going to be following the bells?
Facilitation will switch from one facilitator to the next volunteer facilitator when the bell rings. What's going on with the person who has the issue, they may have finished by then, and the person who volunteered first to facilitate will be facilitating person number two. Dave.
So, for example, I'm talking about my process here. And
so you're talking about your process.
Oh, okay, well, the real example. And you're facilitating me, and the bell rings. I'm going to keep on going, but I'm going to be talking to a different facilitator.
Yes, so I've just stopped facilitating you because the bell rang, and the person who's just volunteered to go next will take over that facilitation. Mm-hmm. Is that any clearer, Lori?
No, now I'm even more confused. So one person is going to facilitate the whole time?
One person is going to facilitate for 5 minutes. Then the bell's going to ring, and somebody else is going to facilitate.
But who's being facilitated?
Whoever's there talking at the moment. Jan?
So it's as if we're just having normal group.
Normal
this group.
Group,
someone talks, they talk for however long they talk. Then they're done, they put their hands on, next person talks, they talk for however long they talk, except the facilitator's rotating every 5 minutes. That's the only thing that's changing. So it's exactly the same as group, it's just that it's kind of like musical chairs.
Yeah.
So groups going along.
So there's a place for everybody.
Different. It would be like, to get a physical kind of picture of it, it would be like ring a bell, Melinda stands up, next person gets on the cushion, but we just carry on with group exactly where we were.
Yeah.
Does everybody facilitate and everybody gets facilitated?
I think that the former is true, the latter may not be. So everybody should have a chance to facilitate, should they so choose. Okay, somebody, Jen.
Well, just that it isn't a requirement.
No, it's
people
not a requirement.
Facilitate. So however long, it'll just, however many people want to facilitate.
Yeah. Okay. Jan?
And what we bring up for our issues has nothing to do with what we just did, necessarily.
Well, I think this would be a good thing to talk about.
Okay.
Just keeps us all
aware. All right.
Yeah. Okay. So let's count off by fours.
1, 2, 3,
4,
1,
2,
3, 4,
1.
And Dave and Jen and Alex will pass.
Two.
Three. Four.
Cameron?
One.
Two.
Three. Four.
Two.
Three.
Four.
One.
Two.
Three.
Four.
Wow.
Okay, so let's take corners of the room, and all those of you moving into whatever number you are can be getting ready to volunteer for whichever.
Who goes where?
Yeah.
Oh, with Dave down there, with Alex down there, with me up here, with Jen up here.
What number?
What number?
One, two, So what are you seeing about facilitation? Mickey?
Well, the one thing that I just really appreciated about that particular exercise was the recognition and the reminder and the experience of that it makes no difference who it is that's facilitating.
Yeah, the recognition, reminder, and another...
Experience,
if it doesn't make any difference.
No, I was just...
Who's facilitating.
Yeah, I was just sort of watching as that would change around and that... Mm-hmm.
As we switched facilitators.
Yeah, that it seemed to me like it was facilitation that was happening and it didn't... who it was that was coming to it didn't affect that process at all.
And would it even fit to say that there wasn't anybody there coming to it? There was just somebody doing the facilitation.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it didn't matter because it was the practice that was facilitating.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I really do appreciate that. And I have appreciated it here as it's, grown over the years that more and more people are sitting on that cushion. And so, it's not new for me to have that experience. I mean, I have had the experience of, I don't care when I walk in here who's sitting there because it's not that, in a way, it's not that person that's facilitating.
Exactly.
It's facilitating that's facilitating.
Yeah, yeah. You bring the process and the cushion facilitates.
Kind of.
Yeah. 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 Rebecca.
Well, real quickly, I would just kind of want to add to that it doesn't even matter the style, because I really appreciated the different styles going
in
the circle.
Yeah.
It was so delightful, and how the so that's enough about that. And then the second little point is that I love reflective listening. It's just such a great foundation, such a home base. It feels so...
Home base,
It just feels wonderful.
You really love reflective listening. Because it's just, it's really solid.
Thank you.
Dan?
To continue the theme, I had heard that this was the first time I experienced something really reassuring, which is that, as a facilitator, you're trying to just sort of keep the space and clear path for the person to do their thing. And if you do some little thing that you kind of wish you hadn't done, it doesn't matter. They stop short for about a tenth of a second, and they turn around and they just keep going.
Because the person brings their process. And unless we're doing something wildly inappropriate, that's not going to... Doing something that seems off to us doesn't really impede the progress of the process.
Even if I project it seems off to them, it's only for less time. I can't even express how little time it is. That was just really helpful.
It's really interesting because they really aren't thinking about you at all.
Exactly.
When I'm in talking about my process, it's about me.
And such a relief.
Going around, Michael.
Well, I noticed that it takes courage to be facilitated.
It takes courage to be facilitated.
Yeah, in sort of an indirect way. It switched while I was being facilitated.
Yeah, so you're talking about your process, and all of a sudden you have a different facilitator.
Yeah, and so as I turned to look at the new facilitator, there was this, just what I saw was this, like, I became nervous. It was really interesting. Like, mm-hmm. I was really nervous, and it was a new person. It was like, it was as if I had been like put into a, like I hadn't been being facilitated.
Yeah.
And I was shoved into an office with a therapist. I don't know this person. So
you watched yourself get nervous, and then what happened?
Well, I picked up, and I went, and I did it anyway.
And there's the courage to be facilitated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So you watched yourself get nervous as it switched to, so you're talking about what's going on for you, and all of a sudden you're talking to this new therapist. And you did a moment of being nervous. Who is this person? I'm feeling really, really new. And then somehow just picked up and continued.
Yeah. So, if nothing else is helpful, just to recognize that other, you know, it's another person. It's not just I'm here for me to facilitate for me.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's like we're one. So I don't know. It's just it helps me recognize the importance or have respect for the process. The fact that when I'm facilitating, there's someone else
who might feel a little bit nervous about being facilitated.
It seems kind of obvious, you know. But,
yeah, but it sounds like if I'm tracking with you, it's a sense of, am I tracking myself? Just what derailed. Just went completely blank. Did you say what you just said again?
Well, the word that's coming to mind for me is reverence. That it's sacred to have the space.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, we come to this room and mm-hmm. we do this,
and it, from both sides, it's sacred. Yeah. The person who's being facilitated and the person who is the facilitator.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Penny?
Well, I just love that round robin stuff.
Mm.
And
musical facilitator.
Yes. I mean, really, the kind of intensity of energy, and, you know, people listening and paying attention, because you sort of don't know who's going to be next. And I mean, it sort of heightens the whole that whole dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that just was I experienced so strongly when we do that kind of thing is truly we are all in this together. We are just so in this together.
We are so in this together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And any of us can step in and do that.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us are called to step in and do that. You know, whether it's be facilitated or the facilitator. But I think this, you know, that reality we've talked about a lot, that, you know, that we are practice. The practice is going to be, this is it.
Yeah.
I have such a sense of that when we do that kind of round robin.
We all participate in practice.
We are truly in that half hour or whatever actively participating. And it's just fabulous, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and we're all, it's all practice. It's all this practice. It's all great willingness and courage to participate in all of the ways that are available.
Yep.
Lori?
I just realized something. I went first in this, and then after I heard other people talking, I thought, gosh, they're talking about really different kinds of things than what I was looking at this exercise.
You went first as the facilitatee or the facilitator?
As the one who was facilitated.
Okay.
Yes. And because I was talking about my responses, and then as it was going along, I'm thinking, oh gosh, conditioning was really on me about, well, you didn't see that, and you didn't see that. And then I just now, what came to me, I thought, oh, that, you know, let that go. Because it was sort of like in this group that I got to see so much more of my experience, you know, that maybe I didn't articulate it, or I might not, when I was answering the question, have seen it.
Yeah.
But as the people were talking, I thought, oh, yeah, I got that. I know what that's all about. Mm-hmm. And so it was just like this whole thing, I think what Penny was saying, too, is just this, it was all me.
Yeah.
Once again, it was all me, and it was
so
all
so once you got out from under the conversation about you did it wrong, then what you realized was the whole thing was a learning experience for you about you.
Yeah, it was definitely that. And, so it's just like going into more depth than sometimes than I'm seeing. And like being in the group here, where when I just get to the opportunity to hear people's experience, it just is so deepens my experience.
Yeah.
You know, again, that I don't have to do it all. I don't have to hold it all. I don't have to know it all. I don't have to have anything to do with any of it. And it's all there.
It's all one experience.
Mm-hmm. That's how it gets to me. Yeah.
David.
I had a really pleasant experience with that. For most of the day, I've just been kind of low energy, not in a negative sense, but just kind of just really fatigued, just kind of very, very low energy. And I am still right now. Can you feel that? And yet, the really beautiful thing about it was that when we were in the small group, none of that really existed. You know, like my energy was high. What everybody was saying was relevant and funny, and there was just like a poignancy to everything. I was very in tune with all of it, including when I was, you know, facilitating or being facilitated. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing to me how an experience like that can just kind of lift.
Completely shift your energy.
Completely shift my energy.
Even though it sounds like you still have kind of the same basic energy level, but something really shifted, so you were...
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
not tired and low energy
in that space.
Yeah,
that was, you know, and it was just neat to see. I mean, I don't think I'm making some point here with it so much. It's just like it really felt like a gift, you know. That like at one point, I think I was even considering, you know, wow, maybe I shouldn't come to group tonight, or you know, there's some kind of a story about like I'm just really kind of. Really hitting low kind of thing in terms of my energy level, and just kind of a gift in a way, you know, just that moment of kind of a real lift in some level.
Right. So that whole, any kind of conversation that was going on about maybe I shouldn't go to group tonight, that was really put to the lie in terms of your experience with group.
Yes, well, certainly, yes, definitely in that space. It was just such a different, it was just such a different experience. And really, really grateful for that. Very interesting. Thank you.
Catherine?
Well, without the voice in my head telling me how bad I am at that, I really enjoy it.
That's probably worth, you know, putting up on a wall somewhere. Without the voice in my head telling me how bad I am at it, I really enjoy it.
I really, and I was volunteering, and everybody, people were in our group, and it was just, and I really feel connected with the person I'm facilitating, and I went, well, duh, I'm present. Which is what conditioning is really trying to talk me out
of course.
Doing with all the you're so bad at this and you're terrible.
Don't participate. Don't put your hands up. Stay back there quiet in a corner and never do anything to get out from under me.
And I've been really identified all day, just really and aware of it and then getting identified, and then, but just kind of stuck in the story. And so I volunteered first to be the person facilitated, and I made a shift, and that changed my energy. And I think, I'm not sure how it would have gone if I'd been the facilitator without having done that first.
Does it matter?
Maybe it would have been fine. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But was.
So you made the shift. You've been identified all day, and you made a shift while you were being facilitated, and then were completely with it and in and feeling connected. And, and not listening to any of the garbage about how bad at it.
Right. Without that, it's just it's just fun. It's just, and you're with it, and I mean, it was a fun, energetic group. It wasn't us that, you know, people weren't talking about little sad things or anything. So. It was fun.
And so are you hearing a little story now that, well, if people had been talking about sad things, it wouldn't have been so much fun.
Yeah.
How does it know that?
It doesn't.
Just to watch out. Here comes another story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Into it?
So go ahead.
Well, kind of along the same lines, I came to a group highly identified.
Highly identified.
And, you know, and in the group, I made a conscious decision to want to be the facilitator because I knew that that would be the best thing I could do to get out of the story.
Yes.
And that's the number one thing that I like about facilitators, you know, no matter. How much the voice is yelling, you know, you can't do this, you're not, you know, you're too tired, you're too identified, you're too, you know, stupid, you're too, whatever, you know. As soon as that opportunity presents itself to be the facilitator,
you're called to be present.
You're called to be present, and that's a blessing.
That's a blessing. Yeah. So you knew you were going to get in there and facilitate because that would.
It was all about me.
It all is, anyway. Might as well enjoy it.
So, anyway, that's what I noticed tonight.
Yeah. Good. Thank you. Marie.
Well, I had kind of a not very fun facilitation experience. And
not very fun. Facilitation experience.
Yeah, and you know, I kind of knew I was just kind of off, feeling kind of off, you know, and so the thoughts were, don't volunteer to facilitate. You know, and I thought, well, you know, I came to the facilitation retreat, so whatever, I'm just going to volunteer. And so right away, you know, a person shared a whole lot, and somewhere in the middle of it, I started to panic. It's like I just lost it, you know. And anyway, which was kind of the fear I had that that would happen. And but anyway,
and perhaps we're even being told, "Watch out, you're going to lose it."
Well, probably because anyway, I was able to reflect back something. But I'm just kind of looking at what is this process that goes on when I'm here, because
when you're here at a facilitation retreat,
well, or just at the monastery or some other different. Process that happens with facilitation, and because at home I can pretty much count on. I mean, you know, there's been one night I remember I was leading the group, and I was so sleepy I could. During the meditation, I was even like doing like this. I was thinking, how am I going to facilitate? And it just turned out to be one of the best nights, you know, to me as a facilitator, and usually. There's something about it in the sitting group at home. I just know I'm going to show up. I mean, and I guess I've proven that to myself, but here I haven't. You know, it's like, for some reason, I don't know. Because, you know, I was thinking, okay, I feel kind of like I felt at home, so I'll just volunteer and I'll show up, but I don't feel like I really did.
Hmm. And does that feel like an after-the-fact assessment?
It felt during it.
Yeah. So something happens when you come to the monastery.
Well, yeah, not all the time, but sometimes.
And what do you suspect?
I guess it's probably some kind of story going on that was, you know, like, I don't know.
Because you've done it at home, Lord knows how many times you've facilitated, and you just know you're going to show up. It's not going to be an issue even when you're half asleep. It goes just fine.
Right.
But you come here, and this is where sometimes the story starts up about you're not going to be able to do this. You want to be quiet. Just don't volunteer.
I don't know. It's kind of, I can tell I'm losing it trying to talk about it, but there's just some big piece of conditioning about don't show up here.
And you keep showing up.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to talk about it. So.
Yeah. And you'll keep showing up.
Yeah, because, you know, when I volunteered, I had a feeling it wasn't going to go that well. And I thought, so what?
Yes.
You know, so what? Because, I remember when I first started the sitting group, it was just like torture. I mean, how badly I got beaten up for sitting in the front of the room. And I remember it was like that for, a couple of months. And eventually it got better, so.
Yeah. So you'll just keep showing up, and it'll keep doing what it does, and you'll keep showing up, and it'll give up sooner or later. Probably long before you do.
Thank you.
Michael, and then Cameron.
I've noticed, and I had the experience tonight, that it's fine to say, I'm losing him. I'm losing him. And then, so I did that tonight, and I noticed that once I did that and tried to reconstruct the reflection, that it was there. You know, so it was interesting to kind of just be there as I am. I'm losing you. And just pause there and kind of reconnect, and it was just really helpful.
And pick it up where it was.
Wherever it was.
Before you
and even if I didn't. You know, pick it up or...
Yeah.
It's kind of, I'm just here doing the best I can. You know, and that has to be okay because that's all I got.
That's what's happening. That's what's here.
And being willing be willing for practice in that way, in this person. Just being willing to show up.
Yeah, being willing to show up and stay there with yourself, even when you're allegedly losing it. Cameron,
I found it really fascinating how we all had the same questions and how I had the experience that others have said that, you know, we're all one and yet, at the same time, I had the experience that the introduction talked about how you were you. You know, in the introduction, it said you'll compare yourself.
Yes.
Don't, because...
Yeah.
And I found that I was kind of comparing myself because I was fascinated by some of the ways people had done the exercise that I didn't feel like I had come at it in the same way. And, you know, I just thought it was really rich to see how you are you.
Yes.
You know, because everyone in the group was very wonderful.
Everyone in the group was wonderful.
And everybody had their own way of doing the same thing.
Yes.
And yet it was all... Something I've related to everyone on a, you know, I could go there and, you know what I mean? It was very unifying at the same time. So I just found that whole thing just really, really kind of fascinating and pretty wonderful.
Yeah, and that for me points to one of the things that's really so elegant about facilitation is that everybody is going to facilitate as themselves. Mm-hmm. It's like we start trying to facilitate like Sherry and we're really in deep trouble. But if we facilitate as ourselves, everybody will be very different and we will all be good facilitators. And it comes back to it's the cushion, it's the practice, facilitating. But we all have our own styles. We're all just in the way people responded differently to the questions. We're all, yeah, you are you, and you will be you as a facilitator or as the person being facilitated.
Mm-hmm.
It's really neat.
Yeah, I don't know, I'm thinking Sherry said something tonight, but maybe it wasn't. It was that other story that was told earlier.
Oh, on the radio show.
No, this was earlier when somebody was thinking some other person was really being a challenging person for Sherry, and Sherry said, "Oh, wasn't he being cute?" You know,
yeah.
That we all are very cute, you know, even in our idiosyncratic, challenging ways.
Yeah, how very dear.
I just wanted to underline that piece about what I heard in it is just being okay with how, so I'm still standing and I lose it, you know, and I, oh, what was that again? I lost it. And I just, what's so powerful about that is that that's modeling practice, you know, and it's like we talk about with parents, you know, so I bind myself up into this knot trying to be a perfect parent. And what am I modeling?
Yeah.
Binding up into a knot trying to be perfect.
Yeah.
Right? But in that kind of just sitting on the cushion and being incredibly kind and compassionate with this person, you know, this being that I'm inside, that's what I'm modeling.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of that.
Truly nothing wrong.
Truly nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I can't remember what you said.
Oops.
You know, great. Good. You know, because that's what I'm offering, is I'm facilitating as a chance for someone to have that reflected.
Yeah, and if I go all into, oh my God, oh gosh, I wish I. Yeah, that's no fun at all for anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. That's our time.
I'm sorry, one announcement. There's still a little bit more cleanup to do in the kitchen. Anybody who's willing to help out to get us through?
Great, so there's still some things to be done in the kitchen, and anybody who's game would be most welcome in the kitchen. Any other announcements? You got them? Okay, schedule's posted for tomorrow. Thank you all.